Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday. This will be, I think, airing on June the 6th. Kathy, I was sharing, and I said my last session, it was June 6th, but that's already aired on May.
We're finally
getting it all straightened. But hey, we're having another case here. Aiden Case is grandson, and he's been on before to share how he's walked with God and abided.
And I gotta say, Rich does talk about you all the time.
Yeah.
I talk about him all the time.
You and your brother are a lot of conversation, but he's very proud of you and everything that God is doing in and through you.
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting. I think I shared this, but Aiden and I went to the Nuggets game with the Lakers in the playoffs.
Yeah, sorry about those Nuggets, guys.
And
I'm a Celtics fan.
we were at the congratulations, by the way. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
there you go.
Dallas will be playing the Celtics. That'll be fun. Should have been the Nuggets, but
I was hoping it was going to be a Nuggets Celtics game.
Yeah, but you know, we were at the game where they were behind, you know, as many as 20 points, and they finally started catching up in the fourth quarter, and then they're tied with a few seconds to go, and we're probably the 15th, 16th row, right by the basket. The Nuggets guy shot and won and swished it. And of course, the whole thing goes nuts. And and Aiden and I, you know, we got to experience, you know, just a special thing. You know that's
so fun. Yeah,
it's remarkable. So and Aiden Aiden happened to get a video of it also.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'll send it to Tucker and you and everybody.
That's awesome. Yeah, yes.
It's fun.
Well, we wanted Aiden to, kind of catch us up. He's been on before, and he's had a great, unbelievable year this year. And we wanted to have him share several things. But the first thing is that as a senior in high school, he just graduated from Valor, and we'll talk about that. But you have to determine a college. And Kathy, you and I, you know, we went through it with Joshua. And we went through it with your daughter and her friend. And if you're walking with God, God has an answer. Mm-hmm. So Aiden, you know, why don't you share with us, you know, your process of how you approached, since you have lots of possibilities, and, you know, Baylor was one of them, but how did you approach, you know, understanding the options, what was going to work for you, and ultimately how God confirmed for you his selection for you.
Yeah.
And so just walk us through that.
Yeah. I think, as a person, as like a business person too, I tend to overcomplicate things, and that's just the truth. I think it's human nature as well, just to overcomplicate bigger decisions like that as well. And, it doesn't nullify like their importance or anything, but you know, I think I definitely learned through that specific process to keep things a little more simple.
That's good.
To keep it you know, more brief, everything that pointed to me going to another school just started to go wrong. Whether it was the school itself, like I would see stuff on the news about this one school that I was like considering, I was like, well, I cannot, you know, either like support this or do this or go there, whether it was like some social situations that just kind of really deterred me away from certain doors that seemed to be open in my eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's just the work of God. That's mm-hmm. always just the work of God. And understanding that he will point me in the right direction if I'm patient. So I feel like I had to learn a lot of patience, because I made the decision in December. And a lot of people usually were already decided by the time they entered into their senior year. So I really felt like God was leading me with patience and being able to actually harness my ability to actually sit and just trust and sit still and trust that there will be guidance and there will be an answer. Eventually it wasn't really just one like huge thing that happened that pointed me to Baylor. It really was just, this has been consistent for me. And this has been something that God's put a consistent love for in my heart. And therefore I'm going to follow that and I'm going to chase that for his purpose ultimately. So my kind of wrap up story was I compared consistency to kind of probably one of the most important things we can have in this life. And I was doing a devotional for my worship group that we participate in at Valor. And I did it on consistency. And I thought back to that process. If I wasn't living in consistent, pretty much intimacy with God, if I wasn't living in like a day-to-day consistent, relationship with him, I'm not actually able to process what he says and hear what he says to me, because I know that he can say things to me. But sometimes I don't hear it. Sometimes I neglect said things, or sometimes I, obviously make mistakes. But one of the biggest consistency lessons that I've learned was at that Nuggets game that mentioned. So I did an entire like Devo sermon, whatever you call it, on this stupid Nuggets game, because we were down 20 at half, right?
Yeah,
it was 20 at half. Yeah, so we're down 20 at half. We were pretty much this close to just leaving. We were just like, this is atrocious. We don't know where we're lost. Like, we don't know what to do. Like, just watching the pain unfold more and more and more. One of the bigger takeaways was the pain and the adversity makes victory that much more sweet and that much more rewarding to us as Christians, especially. But the only thing that actually got the Nuggets to that moment at the end, that buzzer beater winner moment, was the consistency and the reps that they actually just pumped in every single time they got a possession, and every single time they had an opportunity, they're going to take it. So I think in my walk with God during that college decision process, I was actually able to define consistency and be able to understand why consistency with God and why consistency in the word every day is extremely important.
Yeah.
I love that you say that. As you say that, I'm even reminded of John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, but he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he'll declare to you the things that are to come. But that word guide is what you're describing in the consistency, right? Yep, it's not, exactly. He's dropping this big billboard and you're just going to go run to it, but he's literally guiding you step by step. And in consistency, you're able to look back and see, this is what he's been saying all along. Right. And he's leading me down this path and I'm willing to go.
Yeah.
I love that.
As you were, looking at colleges, which ones were on your list that you were considering?
Yeah. Tennessee, Samford, Lipscomb, which would have been more of the music route. So they're just kind of shot every route off, and for good reasons too, not anything crazy, just so Tennessee, Lipscomb, Samford, Pepperdine was another one, and then some other kind of Ivy League schools that were more reaches, but and I got into a couple, but I was just like, I have all these options to evaluate, but I understand that like I need to make one right decision. I can't just go for the best thing here or the best thing in this area. I need to like talk to God. I need to trust the process here. And I need to understand that maybe my plan is not his plan, and his plan is ultimately greater. I've learned that over moving and a lot of different stuff. So a lot of options to evaluate, but I'm glad we narrowed it down.
Yep. And as you were, as you were doing that, what kind of things did you hear from God or process from God that started to refine that list and then ultimately confirm to you that it was Baylor? Because I do remember, for even for you know, because Kathy, Joshua already was at Baylor.
Right.
And Peter's job is in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, Linda and I, you know, when we were talking to God about it, and even talking to Aiden, you know, obviously our preference was Baylor only because of those
logistics,
nothing else, you know, not mm-hmm. about his school, just, hey, that'd be nice. So, hey, Aiden, don't you want to go to, you know, and Aiden's response to me was, at the moment I'm neutral, and I think, and isn't this what you've taught, Opa? Aren't we supposed to seek God's answer? Oh, yeah.
Well done, Aiden.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Well done.
So he was neutral. But how did you, as you were neutral, how did you start to get confirmation from God that Baylor was his choice for you?
To put it simply, I sat still. Mm. I spent so much time exhausting myself. So much time looking for reasons to hate one school and love another. And I remember kind of just being worried about it one night, and I was just kind of sitting and I was like, you know, I don't know what to do here. I'm sick of looking, I'm sick of exhausting myself. And then I opened my Bible to that Psalm of "Be still and know that I'm God." Mm-hmm. And I remember just being like, let me try this. Let me just try this. Let me just put full trust and full commitment and full consistency into this, which says it's true. So I sat still, and the doors that God closed after that, the doors that actually were revealed to me after I decided to sit still and say, I'm chasing this, and I don't know if I can do this anymore. Mm. I ask you, Father, to bring this to me, and I ask you, Father, to bring me your will as I'm going to submit to it. So I understood that I could, no matter wherever I looked, I would ultimately do something wrong. I would ultimately, you know, make a mistake. But I think the reason why I was able to hone it in the time that I did was because I asked God, hey, bring this to me. I'm going to sit still. And I know you're God. I'm going to sit still, and I'm going to be in your peace, and I'm going to be in your plan, and I'm going to submit to it ultimately. And after that, after I, you know, kept praying that prayer consistently, I was able to, I think I had a lot more peace in the process because I was doing less. That's one thing. But also I knew that God's never left me or my family hanging before. And, regardless of how bad things can be or how stressful things can be, he never leaves us hanging. He never fails us. And I was definitely able to, that was a big learning experience, I would say, just to be able to sit still in times of stress and understand that it's him and not me.
Yeah. And what did he say to you? How did he speak to you that he confirmed to you that Baylor was his choice for you?
Yeah, it was Christmas break, and I was pretty much like, okay, Baylor's going to be the answer here. I just like kind of want some confirmation here because, you know, I don't know. And I eventually was with my brother outside who's at Baylor, and he's been like my best friend for a long time. He's helped me through incredible amounts. And I was with my brother, and it was funny. I really am thankful for the way he processes things, because it would have been really easy for him not to do what Opa was doing, but to be like, hey, like, come on, like,
to
let's
nudge
go.
It a little bit.
Hurry
right?
up, hurry up, hurry up, and like, and just nudge. And that would have been extremely easy for him. I would say, like, if there was a ranking system, he would be first for like most neutral, most like obliging to God's plan. And he was like, I would always ask him, I was like, well, do you want me to come to school with you? And he was like, well, I want you to do what God wants you to do. And I was like,
wow.
Okay, but like, do you want me to come to school? He's like, you know, it'd be nice. Yeah, it'd be cool. But I want you to do what God wants you to do. And I want you to understand that that's the right thing, no matter what I want.
That is a great big brother right
and
there.
I love him for that. And I was extremely thankful for that. But we were on Christmas break one day, and we were driving, and I just had this moment with him that I think God speaks to people, again, not with big orange signs, but with serenity and with peace. And that in itself can be confirmation. And it had been a really, November, December had been a really tough couple of months. It had been a really chaotic, really months kind of full of hardship and stress and a lot of adversities that were really tough to work through. But we did. And I felt serenity and peace with my brother for the first time in a while. And that did it for me. And I was moved by that, and I was ready just to make that decision. So I think the peace of God was the biggest confirmation to your question.
Yeah. And you're so sweet. You're going to the business school, I believe, and you're excited about all the possibilities of what Baylor offers you, of course. And so it does sync up with what your interest is. So that's kind of cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I can tell you firsthand, which I know you know this, but firsthand from the other side, my Joshua, who graduated from Baylor, and his wife, Emily, your degree is worth every penny you're paying for it. Good.
I'm glad.
It is.
That's good to hear.
So the business program is stellar, and
it's amazing.
You are going to be so employable and in demand. Yeah.
It'll be good. I appreciate that.
Exciting.
It's exciting. I'm glad for them.
Yeah. So tell the audience how you announced this to the whole family. Because this was, and everybody was, have you decided? He said, yeah, I'm working on it, you know. And so,
I actually, it was a couple days before Christmas, and my dad, man, was so every single day, at least a couple times. You know, it'd be a great Christmas present if you told me where you're going to college. And I was like, so at that point, I had actually, because usually when he was like, hey, what's the plan? I usually would like talk it out and be like, well, I'm evaluating this and I'm talking to God about this and blah, blah, blah. But this time around, I was like, I literally did what Rich just said. I was like, brush off. Nope, it's fine. I got it. Leave me alone. And I walked away. And there were times like my family was mad at me in those couple days because I was like, nope, I got it. Don't worry. But eventually, just because my brother had been like one of the biggest parts of that process and one of the biggest parts of my kind of peace as a whole in that time, which thank God for every single day. I decided to kind of tell him first the story is that same day I went and chopped wood at one of my friend's house. He lives up in like Conifer, so it's easy to just get a bunch of tree wood. I went and chopped wood and I got this little circle, like circle stump. And I got stencils and just paint and whatnot. And I just wrote Baylor Brothers on it just because I thought he loves like rustic, you know, wood, cowboy, whatever, stuff like that. And I painted it. And it was Christmas morning and our family loves Christmas. It's very just special to us. We're all together. And eventually like we wrapped up later in the morning, just kind of giving each other gifts and whatnot. And everyone kind of started to disperse and I was like, oh, hey, like really quick, one more thing, just super quick. And I was pretty nonchalant about it, but, I got my brother and I got everybody around and I gave him the stump and I remember Opa reading it and he was like, it says Baylor on it. And I was like, yeah. And then the parents were crying and
sweet.
It was good.
Yeah. That was a fun moment to, and particularly with Joshua, cause it was, you know, Baylor Brothers and he obviously spent a lot of time with that wood cause it was, you know, it was a chunk of wood that was about that thick and it was cool. And we all were rejoicing and
yeah, it was fun.
And by the way, the answer could have been anything, you know, so it, we all did understand God will tell him what to do and we'll be thrilled. And, the fact that it was Baylor, it's going to be nice cause now we can go down there and see them both.
Yeah. Right.
And there is some beauty in the fact that he aligned all of your hearts to desire that too, right?
I was just going to say every single desire, every single thing that I kind of want to do in the business world, to be with my brother, to be in Texas again, to be with my family. And it's all aligned and it's all been consistent. Yeah. And I know that through this time, God is a consistent God and he aligns
so
things
good.
Very intentionally.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Another thing we wanted Aiden to share is during his high school year, He again was on the varsity tennis team. And I think we've shared the story about how God just led him into tennis when he wasn't a tennis player. was on the team and varsity, and wound up winning second in the state. Mm-hmm. And the only reason he got second is that they had a tiebreaker and he and his partner didn't win. But it was all there. So the question is, spiritually, how did your season in tennis impact you? How did all that work? You know, obviously, you wound up with great success and the honor of being able to win on a great team. But spiritually, what did all that mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was part of trusting an innate intentional process of God. Mm. I think so. What's funny is the guys we played in the state championship, Cherry Creek. So yeah,
it's always
losing to Creek, which is just the truth. So the guys we had played in that state championship were those guys, and we had played them twice that season prior. So we'd played them three times in all. The two times prior to the state championship that we'd played them, we'd almost gotten shut out both times. It was 0-6, 1-6, 1-6, 0-6. So not even.
Yeah, that memory didn't stay with you at all.
Not even close. We brushed it aside and we understood that, like, there was a when we got to the state championship, we're playing these guys. We had a night to kind of process. We're like, mm-hmm. Hey, listen, the truth is here, we might lose. We're probably going to lose because we've gotten smoked twice, but we're going to go in with a champion's mentality, doing everything mm-hmm. we can.
Good.
And understanding that whatever happens, like, God's provided a great season. If you told me at the beginning of the season that I'd be in a state championship this year, like, I would be like, no, probably not. So I think looking back on tennis spiritually, what it's kind of all done for me is just being able to trust a process that you don't even expect. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, I'll give you unexpected treasures and unexpected and hidden places. Mm-hmm. And I love that verse because it really has spoken to pretty much 4 years of high school and spoken to our family a lot. I would say we find blessings in times that we don't expect to. So that's been tremendous. And I think, yeah, so we got to the state championship. And we were like, let's just give it everything. And if it's horrible again, then we're gonna you know, point to God at the end, and regardless of what happens. And we eventually went to a tiebreak with that team on the last
game. Wow! Oh, that's very, great. Very good game.
Close. And we got close, and it was kind of heartbreaking at the end that we actually did get that close, because we're like, oh my gosh, we could have done it. But I think spiritually, it was one of the most important experiences I've ever had. Just tennis is a sport that's very peaceful and that can be very, you know, mind oriented. So you better have a sound mind going into every match, going into every point, learning to, under whatever circumstances or score, learning to have a sound mind rooted in God ultimately is extremely important in the game of tennis, just because it's so mind oriented and it's quiet and it can be very harmful to the mind, or it can be very flourishing to the mind. So ultimately that was probably the biggest deal in terms of my spiritual walk.
And the the joy that I got to, because I got to, Lynn and I got to observe him, was and Kathy, you and I talk a lot about this, is that Aiden enjoyed playing tennis. And the, you know, the outcome, even because we were at that other one where they got beat by the Cherry Creek people, and they were terrific. I mean, they were amazingly skilled guys, and but it didn't ruin his joy, because the outcome was, well, I did my best, and this is where it landed, and the confidence, by the way, which I got to see, is that, you know, when he would fall behind, he didn't get discouraged. It was like, well, I got another shot. I got another game here coming up, you know, and it was kind of fun. So it was pretty fun to see that the joy of it was really primary. And he had positive outcome in most of the cases, sometimes not. but it didn't impact his joy, you know. And mm-hmm. even after the tournament was over, he was still joyful. And hey, my goodness, yeah. you got second in the state. That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's amazing. Right.
That's amazing.
If there's a world where we're mad about second, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
So. I love, even as you described that, though, because I think about so many people, honestly, especially high school and young college age right now, that I feel like one of their biggest struggles is with anxiety. And then you just sitting here talking about how God used tennis, of all things,
yeah.
to teach you the beauty of a sound mind and what it looks like to fix your eyes on him and to mm-hmm. be able to have a sound mind in the midst of a place that, you know, that absolutely requires it. So I don't know. I just think that's fascinating. I don't know if you want to share anything more about any of the spiritual lessons you learned in the middle of that, but I believe there is an audience who would love to hear more about, okay, that sound mind thing he's talking about. I'd like to have a little bit of that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think sound mind's the most important thing you can have in this life, because adversity is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And the way you actually process adversity is it pretty much determines your outcome ultimately. So I think a sound mind defined for me is being able to be rooted in God joyfully, mm-hmm. no matter what the circumstances. When we fall behind in life, and when I fall behind, it's extremely easy to let go of all my joy, to let go of every, mm-hmm. of every kind of good thing that I know of, and just focus in on one negative thing or, you know, anything like that. But it was important for me that I was able to, be led by God, and mm-hmm. thank God that, he comes into our lives innately when we need him to, mm-hmm. And I think ultimately one of the bigger spiritual lessons that I learned through that process was have a consistent intimacy level with God. Not when things mm-hmm. get hard. For me, I made this mistake like tremendously my junior year, maybe a part of my senior year here. But keep consistent intimacy levels with God. It's called daily bread for a reason. Mm-hmm. Dive into the word every single day. Dive into prayer every single day, talk to God every single day. And for people who maybe are just kind of getting into the Christian faith or newer, like obviously he loves you. There's mm-hmm. a plan, there is a purpose, and there's things that are going to happen and processes that are going to happen that are going to line up. Maybe
they go against it.
But regardless, there is a plan. Keep consistent mm-hmm. intimacy levels with God up. Be in his word every single day. Understand the importance of it as well. Be in prayer every single day. If you don't know how to pray, if you don't know where to start in the word, YouTube's great, but there are sermons out there that are going to teach you. Learn to pray. Learn to mm-hmm. Learn to thank God. Learn to praise God. Learn to ask God for things, and learn to confess. That's probably the biggest thing that I could say is mm-hmm. learn to pray, because boy, it is important.
Yep. Abiding. Well, Aiden, thank you so much. We have, he'll be back for next week, 'cause we have more to talk about with his experiences here in, senior year, some amazing, things that happened and the spiritual lessons, which we are so, just rejoicing to be able mm-hmm. to know that you have a heart to receive it, and you're going to continue to receive it. So, Aiden, thank you so much, and we will pick you up again next week. Heavenly Father, we just pray for Aiden right now. Thank you for the blessing that you've given him, with giving him confirmation about Baylor and now his adventure there, for the opportunity he had with tennis and learning what it means to have a sound mind and to actually have joy in just something that he did enjoy. And he wasn't focused on winning or get discouraged if he didn't win, but rather that he knew that you were giving him favor. And we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Aiden. Such a pleasure always to catch up with you. If you were listening today and you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Aiden, look forward to next week.
Yep.
Love you guys. God bless.
See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.